Are we live?
No, not live.
No, okay.
Basically, the way that we usually start these is I kind of just start letting people practice having a microphone in front of them for a bit. So we are talking, we are recording, and then eventually I find a way to say, welcome aboard the Funny Boat Podcast.
Yeah, that's usually the clue.
I am your host, Captain Boomies, and I'm cluing everyone into the fact that it's a new year and we're podcasting again. Go team.
Yeah.
Give me on.
Yeah, and starting early, too. You know. Late February, mid-February.
You know.
We're on top of it.
How long are you allowed to say Happy New Year for? I don't know.
We were on a tight shipwreck.
There you go. Well, we are on, we're in Kent Narrows. So we're not on, are we on Kent Island? I'm so confused right now.
We're technically in Graysonville.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
so
Kent
that's
Island.
Kent Island.
Yeah.
I'm looking at
that's
Kent
Chester.
Island. Across the water here.
Yeah. Nice.
We are at Dessert First, the most adorable dockside coffee place.
Yeah, that's cool.
I've ever been to. I'm really loving this. Plus, I have my nice hot beverage on a very, very cold and snowy February day. I'm still not over a horrible delivery that I was doing in this stupid cold all this week, and I'm very mad at you.
Ooh,
because.
Of course.
You were inside all week.
I was, yes, absolutely I was.
How very dare you.
I should have known better. I apologize.
But that's okay, because you did manage to clear your schedule enough to come here and meet our guest.
Yes.
And so I'm going to introduce you to our guest. Have you two met before?
Today.
Okay, fabulous. With us today is the owner of Chesapeake Boating School and a Boat US franchise. Is that how I'd describe it?
Yeah, so we're an affiliate of Boat US. So we're a Towboat US company, Towboat US Kent Narrows, Knapps Narrows. We do marine towing and salvage, and we are actually celebrating our 36th year.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so... all Towboat US marine towing and salvage companies are independently owned, so we're actually Tow Jam Marine. If you're in a jam and need a tow, who are you going to call? Call Tow Jam. And so we're affiliated with Boat US, so we assist all Boat US members and non-members alike.
Awesome.
Yep.
So I met Captain Sarah Lawrence because she was part of the Her Helm project here in the Chesapeake Bay.
Yep.
It was a very ambitious art project.
That's where I'm seeing your picture. Now I'm walking in. It's like, I've seen her before.
And I apparently have already screwed up everything over here on the technical side. Let me fix some things tonight. Oh, it's mad at me. Whatever. I'm giving up on that one. Anyway, so we were part of this art project that was very cool, and it meant that I got to meet a lot of other women captains in the bay. And you're just so interesting because you are out here a lot, like a lot. And you're turning other people into captains as well, which I find very interesting. Talk to me about running a boat school, because I try to teach people all the time. It's hard.
Yeah. So we're in our fourth year of Chesapeake Boating Academy, and we do on the water training. So we work mostly with recreational boaters, getting them comfortable driving boats, getting behind the helm. And I really believe your program in school is only as good as the instructors and captains that are teaching it. So we really try to make it fun, and accessible for everybody, where we're in a relaxed environment. It's not stressful. We do modular curriculum, so we really start with foundational skills, and we layer on and build up from there.
What would you consider a foundational skill when it comes to boating?
I think you first want to start off with like the intro to boating course, which is the close quarters maneuvering, just getting comfortable with your throttle and helm control, getting used to where neutral and forward are and the idles and reverse, reversing in a straight line, knowing how to properly anchor.
So the biggest problem I see when people are learning their close quarters maneuvering is the tendency to throttle panic.
Yeah.
As in like throwing it in gear and out of gear and overshooting neutral and ending up in reverse by accident and not knowing what's going on.
I always tell people, if you're going to start freaking out, just freak out in neutral. It's like much better. You'll hit the dock way less fast. Come to neutral first and then breathe and get back into it. But just getting comfortable at those slow speeds, driving in a straight line. I know it sounds very easy to do in a car, but you're on the water with current and tides and wind. And then from there we get into, you know, pivot turns, approaches to a dock, departures from a dock, tying up, knots. And then we go into open water and advanced open water, which getting onto a plane, engine trim tabs, and all that good stuff.
I love this. I hadn't really thought about breaking it down that way.
Yeah, but did you guys come up with? I mean, did you create your own curriculum or?
So I teach the curriculum of the National Safe Boating Council.
Oh, okay.
And that's a verified curriculum, and I also teach U.S. powerboating, which does a 8-hour and a 16-hour, and that's called safe powerboat handling. The 8-hour is just like a 9-to-5 on the water. It's kind of like beginner and intermediate in one day. The 16-hour is the NASBLA Coast Guard approved course, and in that one, people come and we do a day of on-the-water training and then a day of classroom, which is aboard our houseboat, and they get their safe boating card. So you get the on-the-water combined with your, you know, required state certificate.
You just said one of my favorite acronyms in boating, which is NASBLA. It's and every time I go to say the actual name, it's the National Association of Safe Boating something.
State Boating Law Administrators.
Law Administrators. Thank you. I always get to that last
I was just thinking yesterday how there's so many. There's NSBC, there's NASBLA, there's a million other ones.
But it's just really fun to say it. NASBLA.
NASBLA.
That's a new password. Yeah. NASBLA 123.
Changing it for my dogs.
I do think that it's very impressive how tied into the certifications your school is, because there's lots of idiots like me out there who are just sitting on people's boats with them going, okay, so this is neutral. Love neutral. Learn to love neutral. It is your best friend. But I have no... I have no education certification, and I think that standardizing that really helps people out. And so I super duper respect folks like you who are going after the certifications that that help break down what is a very broad concept of boating into fundamentals. Because if you had asked me what the fundamentals are of boating, I would say, I don't know, displacement.
I mean, with these intro courses, we are usually just spending probably up to 20 minutes doing safety pre-departure briefings, like getting used to like, what is a bilge? Let's open this up and let's look. Where's all of our safety gear? Why do we have it? How do we use it? And then once we leave the dock, I will demonstrate a maneuver, talk about it, demonstrate it. Got little boards, draw stuff out. And then each student, we do up to 4 at a time, will hop behind the helm and practice. So it's nice because you get to watch other people learning. You see what's working and what's not working. We practice until everybody's comfortable. Some people are quicker than others. And then we go to the next skill.
Okay.
So as you probably know, you're probably teaching all the same things, maybe in different orders. I find the funnest part of working and teaching people is trying to hone into their learning style. Everybody's so different.
Yeah.
Where my son is like a complete auditory learner, like he can memorize just by hearing.
Yeah.
I am not.
Okay.
So making sure that everybody really grasps the concept and meeting them at their level. And some people keep going and some people you work with a little bit longer.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to me, especially because I feel like all I'm teaching is how to think the way I think and not freak out. I teach people how to think about boating. I don't teach them, this is a bilge. But I probably should start doing that. It would simplify things. I know I do get caught sometimes speaking in boating jargon with people who are not ready for right. it. I'm like, I don't care whether you call it port and starboard. That's not important. But if you don't understand what I'm saying, you have to tell me. Mm-hmm. And I will say it 20 different ways for you. But eventually, if you want to boat with other people, it's not a bad idea to learn yeah. more.
Yeah.
It's
no.
not a bad idea if you're going to call Boat US and have them give you a tow, that you can say, oh yeah, on our starboard side is the only place that our cleats are usable. So yeah. like, that's how you're going to have to hook up to us. And they'll know what starboard means, and you'll all be speaking the same language, and won't that be nice? Speaking of oh. towing, I love my towing insurance. I have a Boat US membership. Mm-hmm. Do you have a Boat US membership?
I do.
You have
I have a Boat US membership too. I renew it every year at the boat show. Literally.
It's cheap insurance. I mean, really. It's
yeah.
Okay. It's, but there are limitations to this insurance. And this is something that has been popping up more and more in my captain-y circles. Mm-hmm. Because I was trying to explain to a fellow captain, like, no, you can't use your Boat US membership when you're on a client boat.
Right.
You are officially commercial, and mm-hmm. that means that they're not going to tow you for free. And yeah. and this is a complicated thing that I don't want to totally bum everybody out with. But the workaround I have found is the owner. So if the owner has a towing package and they're with me, that's great. They can get this boat towed. No problem.
Yeah. The yeah. other thing is, a lot of times boats have insurance policies. Like, your hull policy right. may have a additional towing package on it. So a lot of times we ask if they don't have a Tobios membership that will cover them for this particular incident. Sometimes your insurance mm-hmm. has something additional.
Yeah.
And let's talk about why I'm so obsessed with towing insurance, and it has a lot to do with how expensive towing is.
Yeah.
Give me an example. Let's say that I broke down just outside the channel to the approach to the Narrows, and I needed to get towed in here because I really need coffee from mm. my favorite waterfront coffee place.
Right. And maybe some dessert.
And some dessert.
Yeah. yeah.
This is my final destination. This is where I have to be. But my boat's not working. How much would that tow cost, roughly?
So marine towing and salvage companies charge based from the time that the captain leaves the dock mm-hmm. until the time that they do the tow and return back to the dock. Mm-hmm. And every towing company has their own rates that they set up. And then if you're a Boat US member, we just bill Boat US and you don't even get involved with it. So it's a couple hundred dollars an hour. And then if there's small craft advisory, you start tacking on additional. There's night rates, there's after midnight rates. And the reason that it's so expensive is because it costs a lot of money to keep really good, safe, nice boats and captains that are on call 24/7, 365 and ready to jump.
Right.
We pay a ton of money in insurance and gear. And so our boats are made for towing. Our captains are all trained. I mean, we do intensive and extensive training before these captains are actually out unleashed on their own doing it, because it's a very dangerous industry. It's either really boring and you're just sitting around, or it's
blowing
really
a gale
highly exciting. Yeah. And things can go wrong quickly. If you're not towing properly, boats can trip, and it happens. Cleats can get ripped out, lines can fly all over the place. So a Boat US membership's like $175 a year mm-hmm. for the mm-hmm. unlimited towing. Yeah. And it will pay for itself easily if you only use it like once in 10 years.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So just roughly estimating, we're probably only maybe 2 nautical miles from where I'm thinking of if I go out the north side of the Narrows and float around out there. So, and then I kind of know where Boat US launches out of. I mean, you're already talking about like probably $800 on the low end for that tow. And it's not a big tow. I could probably paddle it. Yeah. So this is why you want your towing insurance.
Yeah,
it's
I think
so
they
good.
Say the average tow like nationwide is just around $1,000.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of tows back across the bay. People may come here and we tow all the boats. Doesn't matter if you have four engines or if your boat's brand new, things just happen because you're on the water. So,
oh, your boat's always broken.
And we tow a lot of sailboats as well because, sometimes there's not wind and sometimes it's hard to get into a tight marina, especially if you're in a place like this where there's current. So, yeah, it's definitely a valuable thing to have.
I didn't think about that. So sailboats are notoriously underpowered, meaning the engine size versus the size of the boat is always...
Yeah, the sailboat, for the most part, the engine is just an auxiliary.
Right.
You know, in and out of the marina to get you sails up and get going. but, you know... like,
and I know sailboats that in the Narrows would not be able to fight this current under motor.
It's very difficult if you hit it at the absolute wrong time.
Yeah.
Especially just because the current isn't just, I mean, with a sailboat, you have a lot more underneath. So when you turn, it's like a big sail in the water, too, your keel.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've had friends, you know, damage their boat against the bridge because they got called off to you know, through the draw and everything else, and they tried to turn and the engine just couldn't keep up with it, you know. So it can happen. But, you know, like the great Captain Ron said, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen out there.
Out there. Yeah.
So that's why you should have your towboat insurance set up, for sure.
Yeah.
Every time I've been towed, it's been out. I've been out in it.
Yeah.
Every time.
We actually pulled a 37 or 39-foot catch drake sailboat off of this bridge. It was an incoming tide.
Mm-hmm.
And generally... so he was on the south side of the Narrows. Generally, what they'll do is you'll let the boats that have, you know, that are going with the current go through first. They're a little bit less maneuverable. And then the boats that are going into it will go second. And that's usually controlled by the bridge tender. He'll execute and tell people who to go first. Well, a guy got a little too close to the bridge in his sailboat. And so he was trying to make a loop back around to reset up. And the current can really rip right here, as I'm sure you've seen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so it pinned him under the drawbridge, and it was really bad. Like, you started hearing stays and like the shroud starting to snap.
Yeah.
And so we got there. We heard it on the radio. We got there within like I think 7 minutes and got a line. We were able to pull him off. But it's one of those things where, you know, if we hadn't been there so quickly, and I mean the boat could have easily gotten swept under.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or dismasted. Or
dismasted, which happened with us down in Cambridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I am beyond stressed just thinking about that. I have on my electric jacket today, and I turned it off, thank goodness, but it feels like it's on because I'm putting myself mentally in the position of this sailboat, and it's making me sweat, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
I think I now need some ice water. That's ridiculous. Okay, so... You were talking about the fact that you send your captains out into this stuff all the time. And it is either a nice, boring, drag a sailboat across a dead, flat bay because there's no wind, or you're sending them out because there's an emergency. What kind of emergencies do we see here on the Chesapeake?
So... a lot of times it could be people out on the bay. For example, this summer we had a boat that had just taken on fuel in St. Michael's, and they were on their way back, and they basically sheared their outdrive off, and they sank in like under 3 minutes right here in Prospect Bay. That's like a pretty extreme version of it, but they made a call to our base station when they first kind of thought something was a little weird. We immediately dispatched our captain, and when they called back, the boat was starting to go under.
Holy cow.
But on the bay, it's really a mixture of, earlier you were talking about being a prepared captain, and I think that is really the key. Really, if you want to be safe on the water, you need to anticipate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the reasons why life jackets are always kind of good to be on, because it's like being in a car accident, like you can't like put it on mid-car accident, your seatbelt. This boat went down so quickly. Luckily, they got picked up by somebody.
Wow.
And then we got called. We were there. we side scanned, finally found the boat. And then, but it, by then it was kind of, the sun was going down, so we had a diver come. We bagged it and lifted it first thing in the morning. So it could be anything from that to,
Oh, I didn't even think about the salvage part of it.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're refloating boats. That is cool.
I know. And so where they had marked it, the boat actually, when it went down, it was drifted. Kind of vertical. So it drifted like a quarter mile from where we had been given the coordinates. And so we kept doing like an expanding square, and we had three towboats out trying to find it with a side scan. And it was when the rockfish were hitting. I should have had my like fishing rod with me. Because I'm like, I think I found it. And it was these huge bait balls. And I was like sending it to, you know, Captain Trevor, who's our like, you know, he's like an amazing fisherman. He's like, that's another bait ball, Sarah. I'm like, ah. So we finally found it, and we marked it. We contacted the Coast Guard. We put lights on it, and then we were out at like 5 in the morning. And it was out and hauled out.
I love that. Oh, man, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were talking about one of your captains. What kind of a captain makes a good tow captain? Because I feel like I'm too much of a wimp to be a towboat captain. I don't want to go out there when it's exciting out. I want it to be a nice, comfortable ride all the time. I'm not about on your mark, get set, go.
Right.
That's not my jam.
Yeah. Someone who is an anticipator.
Okay.
So, knows the weather. They're watching the wake. Obviously, if there's a big boat wake, you want to see it in advance before you're going to hit it. Risk management. Okay. Just like mitigating any issue before it comes. Keeping your decks clean so that lines don't get wrapped around legs and hurt people. Communication, making sure that the person on the boat knows what the plan is. If we're ungrounding your boat, everybody needs to be sitting down. Nobody should be walking around. Nobody should be near cleats where the lines are attached, just in case a cleat were to fly off. I think it's just really being that person that can communicate clearly, keep the situation calm, and know what to do. So, like, our towboats don't have huge engines. You know, I think we've got 150s, 225s. You don't need a ton of horsepower because it's technique.
Yeah.
So there's methods and ways to do things so you're not messing up people's boats when you're pulling them.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. I've always been impressed with the level of customer service by the captains as well. They're always so pleasant.
Yeah, it's, even when it's like really crappy out.
They're like, just so pleasant.
Yeah.
Is that because they've been waiting around all day for a call?
They're so bored. They're so happy to see another human out there.
They can feel their wallet getting bigger. As hey, so happy to see you guys out here.
Yeah. I think they're in such a good position to like change somebody's like trajectory for the day. Like a lot of times, you know, we'll have people and they're out for a date night. It's like the sunset and then they're super bummed, right? Like maybe, I don't know, their starter went or they need a jump or they're out of fuel. But like, we'll just say, you know what? We're just going to hook up. You guys go back, hang out in the cockpit, like have a glass of wine. We will get you there. We will completely dock you, tie you up. Just relax, like enjoy the rest of your day. So, yeah.
All right. This brings me to something that I've always thought Boat US should offer as a service, though, and that is, generally I don't have booze on my boat. It's just not a good idea. But anytime I've had to get towed, I really regret not having booze on my boat, because now I'm not the captain. Somebody else is handling things.
So an emergency bottle of champagne?
I think they should offer. I think that should be part of the service.
White glove service.
Who do I have to talk to make that part of my membership? So, like, I have the gold membership right now. I want, like, the bubbly.
Yeah.
I want bubbly.
The Prosecco level, please.
If that could be an option, I'd be very, very happy about it. Ed, have you ever been towed?
Yeah.
How many times?
Twice. Okay. And I'm sure we were bringing a boat back from a fall boat show, from Annapolis to Rock Hall. Of course, every time I'm on a delivery from Annapolis to Rock Hall after a boat show, there's a storm. So it hit us, and because
that
it got
so to, true.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't
and
know.
I'm always going into the Chester, and I'm like, this is not pleasant right now.
Yeah, and I always get picked. I'm like, great. Yeah. He's like, this is going to stink. But yeah, so what happened, and I think a lot of sailboats this happens to, especially beginning of the season or maybe towards the end, but in this case, it was a newer boat. It had the fuel filter got clogged because it got so choppy and yep. it stirred things up in the fuel tank, which happened to be when they were putting the fuel tank in, all the clogged it up. We couldn't keep it steady. We could keep the engine running, but not enough RPMs mm-hmm. to really do anything. It was blowing a gale, like literally. We were going the wrong way quick, yep. and we're like, it was night. I mean, we probably hit all your categories. Nighttime, windy, past
after
midnight.
Yeah.
But I will
ching,
say,
ching,
the guy found us immediately.
Wow.
I mean, we waited like 45 minutes, which is immediately coming because yeah. we were off Huntingfield Point at night, got right to us, hooked us up, and put us in the slip. And it was,
Where did you break down?
We started and here's the key. When you start to think you have an issue, it's just like reefing.
Yeah, yeah.
You should make the call then. As soon as you think there's an issue, call. Because now at least you're on the radar. They have an idea. So yeah, we ended up really having major issues after like halfway between Huntingfield Point and the Bay Bridge.
Okay.
And then that's when the wind picked up and was pushing us more towards, it was coming out of the, from Baltimore, so it was pushing us towards the shallow area, and we're like, please get here. And so, but they got us in time, hooked us right up, and the guy was pleasant, and it was shitty out, and they were like, hey, we got you, just hook this up, step back, just like you said, we got you, and just steer right for my stern. Okay.
Yeah. It takes a certain breed to be really good at that. And
yeah.
A lot of times, people don't work out because you got to be, willing to be out there when it's not fun and know what to do and be quick.
I heard you got some heated vests for your guys, though.
The heated vests are super clutch. We don't know where they've been for the last, 35 years, but they're here now.
I'd consider doing it for the vests.
Yes.
that's speaking my language.
Yeah.
Because it is so cold out right now. Mm. It's just horrible, and I'm thinking about your captains that are on call right now.
I keep telling my husband, can we please get like a cabin boat? Everybody's running like silver ships and safe boats. Oh, I gotta be out in the elements. I gotta feel it. This is how I do it. I can move around quickly.
Yeah.
And I think this year might be the year that we he decides, maybe we will get a cabin boat.
Yeah.
Maybe one.
Yeah, we've been spoiled up until I think like 2016 was a really cold winter.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's
it was 2017.
It's been mild before. I mean, like there's been days in December where... But
well,
even this December, I think it was okay, but January hit hard.
Yeah.
I have one more just really technical question, I suppose, about being a towing business, because it's such an... I know that there's a lot of weird laws and rules around towing and salvage, and people have sent me horror stories about getting towed by companies that are not affiliated with Boat US
mm-hmm.
or some random unsavory character in the Caribbean who then put a lien on their boat.
Mm.
And, how much paperwork do you have to do as an owner of a Boat US affiliate in order to not run afoul of all this weird...
Yeah, it's extensive.
Okay.
we spend a ton of money on training and insurance and going to conferences and making sure that all of our boats are ACAP certified, so they meet a higher standard level that regular boats are. They're built and made to be towboats. So I tell people that having a Boat US membership also makes you just a smarter but a safer boater. It's really not cool to have to ask a friend when you could have a professional company come and help you, because then you're putting your friend at risk
mm-hmm.
and their boat. And a lot of these boats don't have, backed cleats, and they're not using the right line. I mean, we're using specific gear to the job. So it's a lot. And if you have a membership, we just bill Boat US and you don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah.
It's literally that easy. It's kind of like AAA of the water. And I drive an old minivan, so I broke down in my minivan in Easton, last fall, and I had to call, my insurance, which has like the roadside assistance. It took them 13 and a half hours to get there. I just want to say our average ETA on the towboats is around 45 minutes. So just to bring things into perspective here, I feel like we're delivering a pretty good service.
I'm very impressed. I ran out of fuel at the Tiki Lee shootout last year. And I was able to putter into Tiki Lee. And then all of a sudden, Towboat US was on my hip going, "We're here. We've got your 5 gallons that you need." And I was like, "Great, appreciate it. I'm still going to be here if you want to top me up."
Yeah, we're there the whole weekend.
So, no, what's cool is that it covers you on any boat you own, bar, or charter, anywhere you are. So you could even be in an area where if there's no red towboat, you get a tow from another company and Boat US will still reimburse you up to your service level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is like $3,000 per service for the gold.
Is that how you start as a towing company and then become affiliated with Boat US, or is it?
We have a contract with Boat US and they're very respectful of people's AOR, so like your area of response. So we have lines designated in the bay.
Okay.
So if somebody breaks down in our AOR, we tow them. They call us. If somebody breaks down, in Spa Creek, they're in Tobias, Annapolis, Baltimore, Middle Rivers, AOR. They start them. So we can tow into other people's AORs, but they have to start in ours.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Is there any situation in which you would do a handoff?
We often do, and that's usually on Memorial Day, Fourth of July weekend when things are really busy. Mm-hmm. When we're starting to stack up jobs, we'll do handoffs. Most of the time with, Dale and Christine from Annapolis, Brandon from Upper Chesapeake, we've got great working relationships, so yeah.
Okay,
and
so
are definitely a thing.
There's no, Jets and the Sharks, rivalries going on between all of the different Boat US towing zones, right?
We all get along really well. I spent, an hour on the phone yesterday with, our friends across the bay. You have to, because that's the best way.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, we're all on the same team.
Yeah.
Same goals.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. It's downright gross.
Yeah. Well, it's Valentine's Day-ish.
Yeah, she's got that post-Valentine's Day.
I've been very good at not munching away on my snacks from dessert first.
Yeah.
Thank them a bunch for having us again.
There's a whole bunch of stuff
over there. I'm going to go have that. Because this has been the Funny Boat Podcast.
Oh, yes, it has.
And, bon voyage.
Bon voyage.
I'm going to eat this now.
Go for it.
This is the ice cream spot in the summertime.
Ooh.
I bring the boat up right here.
Ooh.
And it's perfect.
I always end up at that
iced coffee
right
and ice
there.
Cream.
Yeah, that's that's our problem.
Cheers.